Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of the Cyril Coombe Review Boardwalk Empire. I'm happy to be joining you once again as we discuss the latest edition of this show, the final season of Boardwalk Empire, season 5, episode 6, The Devil You Know. I am joined by my esteemed colleagues. I can say colleagues now because one just made it at the nick of time. As the music playing, I see a number flash up. I'm like, is this a caller? Oh, no, that's Chad Quinn. Thank you, Chad Quinn, for joining us.
Yes, I had to put the dramatic effect, of course.
come through like Kobe in the clutch.
Yep.
But Chad Quinn joining us along with, of course, Robert Sapp. He
joins
us to discuss this latest edition. On a sporting note, real quick, because I have to say this, congratulations to the Kansas City Royals for making it to the World Series, 29 years in the making. So you go 29 years without being in the playoffs. It's a huge deal to make it to the World Series. So they will face the winner of the Giants-Cardinals about to about the first pitch, maybe in a couple minutes. Giants lead 2-1. So we get to this episode, and I got to admit, for the last couple of days, I'm glad I didn't have to work on Monday because I was in mourning. We knew it was coming.
It was hard. I knew it was coming,
but it was a rough one though. With my man Chalky White. We knew after episode 5 though, you knew he was going up there for basically a suicide mission up to Harlem.
Yeah.
And it was a tough one, but you know, he went out like. I like how you went out. Let's put it to you that way.
We might as well
begin there in Harlem. So Chalky gets to Harlem. Of course, he's ready to kill Narcisse. And this is one of the rare times that the episode picks up where it left off. We don't see that too many times
before.
They happen to do that. He sees daughter Maitland and of course his daughter. Laying on the couch asleep, and then everything changes. He wonders why daughter Maitland is up there. It turns out we get a reveal that daughter Maitland wasn't up there as a prostitute, but she was up there because Narcisse has completely derailed her singing career, basically black looking as a maid, cleaning toilets and what have you for the past few years. And this completely throws Chalky off because Chalky came up there and he knew he was going to die regardless, but he came up there to kill Narcisse. He killed Narcisse, then died in a rash of bullets with Narcisse's guys that had been fine with him. But so this complicates the matter for Chalky, takes him back to, you know, the times that he had with daughter Maitland. He says, I can't even remember your voice. He said, I tried to lay down, you know, for the last 7 years, thinking about you in terms of your singing, but I can't even remember what you sound like. So clearly that relationship helped him to get through the past 7 years. And then he locks out. He has the opportunity to leave, but chooses to stay and wait for Narcisse. Narcisse gets there, and then Narcisse makes the proposal to Chalky about joining his organization because Narcisse is under the thumb of one Lucky Luciano. And this is the first time you've seen Narcisse look weak from the standpoint of almost being a beaten man. He said it. Now, part of it, he's running game on Chalky, of course, but a part of it, he was genuinely just beaten down from having to be beholden to Lucky Luciano. and that whole situation. So he gives Chalky, of course, the option. Chalky listens to the record that Daughter Maitland has. Once Daughter Maitland is told, Narcisse about her situation, listens to the record, and then Chalky, of course, choosing to basically sacrifice himself for freedom for Maitland and the daughter. Who knows whether or not Narcisse fulfilled. You know what? I think we'll get to that, but I actually think he did, and I'll tell you why. But just talk to me. Just what were your thoughts on this sequence of events with Narcisse, Chalky, and Daughter Maitland, and the little girl as well, Althea? That was her name.
Can I say something?
Sure. Go ahead.
We haven't been on the air. In 2 weeks.
Three weeks. No. I wasn't even going to say anything. It's been 3 weeks. All of us. It's been three weeks. But I was going to leave the audience.
All three of us. Yeah. We did episode. We did episode four, but we didn't do.
We're at six.
Let me just say, like, I just want to give just a standing ovation. Standing ovation to the show. These past two episodes, I have enjoyed every single solitary moment. I'm thoroughly, you know how hard I've been on the flashbacks. I'm fucking loving teenage Nucky and like all that stuff that's happening right there. I mean, just like the dialogue has been off the chain. I just want to give just because we've been down certain parts of the show, so I just wanted to start it off in that direction. These last two episodes.
Before you continue, Rob, because I want you to talk first on that scene, but let me get my piggyback on that because that's where I was going. As I'm watching these last couple of episodes, man, I can't think of one show in recent history that I love that I'll miss more. And I say that because it's leaving almost prematurely. You know, and shows shows don't do that. Like, as much as we love, and you guys in particular, but I did too, as much as we love Breaking Bad, we knew it was time. So Breaking Bad did the best of it didn't wait too long to leave. You know what I mean? It was time. It was over. The story was done.
And The Wire, too. Wire did a great job.
And The Wire, too. And The Wire almost, although The Wire is the best show ever, Breaking Bad did it better than The Wire as far as ending, because The Wire just, I love season five, but they knew they was reaching for season five. It was like, okay, let's get out of here. You know what I mean? But it was still a great way to end. But this show, these last two episodes, and they do this at least once a season, they do something so dynamic with the writing and the directing and the acting. It just is breathtaking, the beauty of the show. And, to put it in perspective, this is why we were so hard on the show. And, you know, from the outside in, it could look like a nitpicking at times, but it's because this standard of excellence that Boardwalk Empire is upheld, you expect that every time. So it was like very bittersweet. It's bittersweet watching what's going on right now because it was just like, wow. You know, wow. So go ahead, Rob, whatever, and we'll get into this. But I could agree.
Yeah, no, you go ahead. You go ahead on Chalky.
Okay. So first thing you said, Terrell, to your point about we normally don't pick up right where we left off. You know, that's not the formula for Boardwalk Empire or whatever. Rarely ever does that. If never, I don't even know. But there are certain things I'm going to talk about that have more to do with the writing and the acting and less about what was happening, but we can talk about all of that. But one thing that was so remarkable was, what's old girl's name?
Daughter Maitland.
For her character to be gone so long, it was genius that feeling came right back.
Yeah.
When he sees her, the feeling immediately came right back. And that's when you have great writing, directing, and acting meeting all in the center. So, you know, because it's very hard to do, almost impossible at times, you know what I mean? And I was thinking about her before, like, it'd be interesting to see if they would bring her back. I know she wasn't a huge character. She was the focal point of this narcissist, you know, Narcisse and Chalky thing. But the way they brought her back was just impeccable to me, the way it just started. And then, before I get into the actual scene, the other thing about acting. We talk about how great Chalky is. Chalky's, you know, Michael K. Williams is great. It's like when you think, you know, Dwayne Wade is good and then Kobe step on the court. Now, this is a Kobe in his prime. And there's no disrespect to anybody. But when Jeffrey Wright came into the damn room, I mean, this man, he says one line. He says one line. I see. You know, he comes in, and all he sees a gun pointed at him so eloquently. Oh, okay. You know, and killed it. Just that little blurb he gave you was so impactful. It was so impactful. And it was like, thank you, Terrence Winters, because you did them justice. You allowed them to be their characters. You allowed them to be their character. They weren't a caricature of who they were. It wasn't like where it was initially looking like it may have with Chalky, with the, you know, the ashy mouth, mad. It wasn't that, you know. To allow them to have this moment and this dialogue, it's like, you know, this is better than Pacino and De Niro in Heat. You know what I'm saying? To have these figures sitting across from each other, hating each other, but talking, trying to talk, and come to some type of agreement. And, you know, what they don't always show, but they show it, and he still does a way, he does it in such a brilliant way, Michael K. Williams, of even in his tender moments, keeping that rough edge. You know, that's another thing that's very hard to do. And the love he has for this woman, the brokenness in this man, he has nothing, you know. And he knew it was time. You know, he knew it was time. And even for her, you know, it was like poetry, it was like Broadway. Because now you got the girl talking to Chalky right in front of Narcisse, like, you know, you can't trust. Like, all this is going on. You know what I'm saying? All of this is going on right in front of him. Like, there was like, they showed, and I'm sorry, because this is like when I go into this stuff, it's like the Revolutionary Road type of thing where they revealed themselves to each other. You know, there was nothing sneaky or mischievous. There was no tricks, really. And even in the trickery, they knew what it was.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So they showed themselves. So I know I've been talking long, and I'm giving it to Rob. So the last thing I'll say that was so brilliant about the writing for this piece, you know, Narcisse's character from the gate spies Negroes, right? He was so above them. So when you speak of him being defeated, it wasn't in this instance. It was basically him having to realize what Chalky already knew.
Yes.
You're nothing but a black man.
Yep.
That's what he's saying, ultimately. You can speak better than me. You can play what you want to, but you have no power.
Yep.
Everything you talk about is a dream. And you can tell, that stung him so bad.
Oh, yeah, that hit him hard.
Like, you can sit up here, uppity, with your pinky up if you want to while you're drinking and all that stuff. But we the same, man. Whether you like it or not, we the same. You know what I mean? So I love it. Like you said, we'll talk about the other part. But when he says, so are you going to uphold your end of the deal? You believe that. You know what I mean? Whatever, you believe that I'm going to do that if you want to. You know what I mean? Whatever gives you peace. So, honestly, it was so remarkable. The whole episode, the rest of it could have been horrible, which it wasn't. It was just as great. But the whole episode, the rest of the episode could have been horrible, and I still would have been good. And also, we never, besides coming where we left off. You never see Chalky start an episode. I mean, Chalky start an episode? You know what I mean?
No.
They you can tell that the writers cared about him and his send-off. It was very important that they did it the way they did. You know what I mean? So, I mean, yeah, like I said, Boardwalk Empire never fails. They give you at least one or two episodes where you will watch it three or four or five times. You know what I mean? You just will. So, I'm done.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have too much to add on to that because all of it was right on. I think, like, what the part that struck me about all of that, and again, we're talking more of the directing, the acting, than the actual, like, what plot or what the plot point was just the interaction between Chalky, Old Girl, and the daughter. Like,
right.
you couldn't help but feel like we were talking way back in episode like one or two about, like, you know, like how he was defeated before because of his daughter and like all the like the different sense of like everything like that. But in this scene, all I could do was just feel. Like, that was just, like, because it was that little girl being there and how, like, it was being presented. All I could think was his daughter. And I could see that that's what the character, that's what they were trying to invoke, particularly what Chalky was trying to invoke. You know, like, that was the final nail. You know, and if the slightest chance he could give this little girl some peace, he was going to take it, regardless. You know, and I say the little girl and the mother, and then there's this shot, because in my mind, and I think everybody is thinking this. I mean, this is what I think they were trying to say. It's like, you know, whose child is it? Like, you know, who, like, where's this girl, whose is it? And there's this shot in frame where it's literally when Marcisse and Chalky are looking at each other, and then the mom and the little girl are framed in between them. And it was just like, for me, like that, it just struck such a emotional chord. And the little girl, she was really good, by the way.
She was really good.
I was like, man, you're really at, anyway. So all of that being said, like, that to me was just like the emotional, like, we skipped to the end, but that was the emotional chord that was just kind of being struck. Since that kind of last scene in episode five, all the way through episode six, and so brilliance all around. You know, who knows if Narcisse, you know, lives up to the bargain that they struck. You know, I don't necessarily know if that'll be a material plot point going forward in the last two episodes, and it shouldn't be. But I think all of that was to build that emotional connection to Chalky in a way that I just didn't necessarily see coming until the end of episode five, that when he kind of like stood up, you know, like in the end scene, and that is Shakespearean, that is poetry, however you want to put it, this is what it looks and feels like. It was a damn clinic in writing and directing.
Yeah. So I'm totally satisfied, and I've been begging the writers all season, please close this storyline out. Please close this storyline out. And I like, they have to. So when this came about, I was just completely satisfied, regardless of who lives, who died. as long as it was realistic, which it was, so I was completely satisfied. I found the thing I was struck by the most is Narcisse was the last scene. Narcisse is a character whose power we know power comes in words and what he says. And for Chalky to be as ignorant and as uneducated as he is, and he is uneducated, for him to flip it on Narcisse like that was just, I loved it. I was like, you know what? That's almost better. It's not worse. It's not like death for Narcisse, but that's almost like, man, this, you know, I'm about to kill this dude, but you know what? He got me. Like that last look from Narcisse was like, damn, yeah, you're right. like it's not like that. I mean, that was to me what struck me about that particular scene, because again, Narcisse, you know, when we meet these characters in terms of them talking to each other back in season 4, you hear Narcisse quoting, you know, Bible scriptures and chart, and you know, Chalky's like, I don't care about Timothy, John, and blah, 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 and cursing and stuff. So, and Narcisse, you could tell Chalky was insecure about Narcisse's intelligence, and he was, you know, that he felt, you know, kind of like, man, you ain't nothing. What do you say to Dar Maitland? You ain't nothing but a nigga with a dictionary. He ain't nothing but a nigga with a dictionary. So for him to flip it on Narcisse like that was just, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And I was rooting all season. I wanted him to kill Narcisse myself. But you know what? That was even better. That was even better to me. So
yeah,
I was
fully... Yeah, like you said, sticking with the Shakespearean, you know, analogy, it's more fitting for him to die slow, painful death. Narcisse, that is.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And that is the draining of his power, you know.
And it's kind of like, you know what I thought about too with Narcisse? Different, but it's kind of similar. I thought about Marlowe with Narcisse. Because how Marlowe's power got stripped completely. Now, Marlowe is even worse than Narcisse because he had nothing. He ended up with just, I mean, he did have the money, but in terms of street capability, he had nothing. It's kind of similar with those two characters and where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody, you see the parallel with that?
I have to digest that for a moment, but I do see. I won't say parallel. I do see certain similarities as far as the loss of power and the bravado and ego that was flaunted when they had that power. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's the overarching, you know, loss of power, which is, you can parallel that to a number of different things. You can absolutely parallel that with Marlowe's, but I think the deeper thing that we're all touching on and connecting to is that his death of his power isn't, or the death of Narcisse isn't a physical, I'm going to cut your throat. It's a cutting him down slowly of, I held myself as this intelligent, you know, Negro who was as, you know, who was equal to any white man. And
right.
Now that has all been stripped. That's been stripped from him from Luciano. That's been stripped from him by Chalky in the words that he said. And
right.
the big picture of it is that is more wounding than anything else. And I think that's what you were touching on, Cyril, in terms of a satisfying conclusion
mm-hmm.
between those two.
Definitely.
Yep.
And also, the biggest distinction to your point, Rob, about Marlowe is that, listen, Narcisse's power, which he just is realizing through Chalky's words, it is an illusion. He was never an equal. Okay, so that's the difference. Marlowe had real power. He did.
That's true.
He
yep.
had real power.
Yep.
Narcisse
yep.
thought
yep.
he had real power.
Yes. Yep.
You know what I mean? And that moment, that realization, the realization actually, for real, was season 4 when he's in prison. And they're telling
yeah.
him what he's going to do. That's
yeah.
the realization. No, we're not asking you. Don't use these big words. This is what you're going to do. You know what I mean? So that's the great writing is they were breaking him down before all of this moment. You
yes.
know what I mean?
And this,
he
and
already
this complete,
had to eat this humble pie.
Yep.
You know? Now, it's
yep.
one thing to eat humble pie in front of the people that are feeding you, the white man, But in this case, understand that's what we're talking about in the respect of the show. But it's another thing to witness the people that were you were laughing at the had to eat the pie. They watching you eat it with them. You know what I mean? So you can save face when you're having these meetings in private. But he's completely exposed for where he is. And also besides, like, getting off the power tip for a second, showing his vulnerabilities and his honesty when he says, listen, all three people in this room want to be free.
Mm-hmm.
That was being a really honest moment. You know what I mean? If we can put our differences aside for just a second, there's no one that can dispute that all of us just want to be free.
Yep.
So, yeah, it was just remarkable. You know, you can do clearly an hour just off that one scene or whatever, or that whole,
so,
you know, how that played out.
So we'll go to 1897 now, Nookie 1897. He's clearly frustrated by his standing with the Commodore. He's been deputy sheriff now for 13 years now, really in the same place he was, yeah, for the last, well, maybe not for 13 years, but he's been deputy sheriff for a while, and he's obviously he's not happy with not moving up with the Commodore. He has a conversation with his wife that I found interesting. She's pregnant. She's making blueberry pie. Not blueberry, strawberry. Let me get that right. Strawberry pie. Says that, you know, he asks her, you know, why are you doing this? She says, well, the strawberries are turning. And I think that's some symbolism in that in terms of strawberries turning. He, in some ways, he's turning because he is now taking collections. He's getting deeper and deeper into the seedy part of where he would end up being in 1931, right in current day Nucky. And also, he notices, you know, we get a couple of reveals in terms of 1897 with you know, obviously his wife being pregnant, but with Jillian, we get introduced to Jillian, find out that she's this thief, that they thought that she was a boy, and she's a thief, and he's of course he ends up catching her along with Eli. He uses Eli to catch her, and Nucky also sees the Commodore start to take in young girls, and we see young girls going into the Commodore's office. And their mothers, you know, the mothers standing outside the office. So there was a lot to chew on from 1897. Again, and also the reveal that it is Jillian who indeed those letters that he received in a couple episodes back, I think episode 2, from Nellie Bly were indeed from Jillian. Because Jillian, when he confronts Jillian, young Jillian, that is, confronts her about the stolen materials, about the stolen materials. She uses the name Nellie Bly, and she uses the name Nellie Bly. Of course, he sifts that out and forces her to tell him her what her real name is. So, a lot to chew on for 1897. Also, I found too what was interesting when they said that a hurricane is coming to Atlantic City. So I found that very interesting when they said a hurricane, when they mentioned that. And we can go deeper into that over the course of the episode because that, you know, we can parallel that, not parallel that, but take that to up and coming episodes in terms of a hurricane coming to Atlantic City. What were your thoughts on 1897, Rob? Since you love these flashbacks, Rob's favorite flash kid.
Yeah. So here. So yeah. I mean, like, yep. It's completely. I completely 180'd on this one. I completely 180'd on this one because it went into a direction I just didn't see. And that's why Terrence Winters is him and I'm me.
Barb, before you continue, give yourself a little credit because when we talked about the flashback, we were talking like, well, if they were going to show Jillian, I want to see
that
stuff. So
that
conversation was had.
So I think one thing is a small thing for me, and I guess, you know, and this is the power of acting, I guess I just didn't believe the young, like the little Nucky. Like I just didn't believe. Like that's what was. I think that was just like my small aha to myself, because I really like teenage Nucky or middle, you know, early 20s, whatever. This Nucky and the actor that's playing him. I just really he did one small like movement with like his like how old Nucky does. I was like, ooh, that's good. I'm here now. I can see this. I see this connection. And I guess I couldn't see it with the young. So that's just like a one small thing that I think was an aha for me. The second thing is, just like you say, it's mining the relationship or the lack thereof of the relationship for the Commodore. So the flashbacks now are revealing parts of the story which we were never privy to, which is what I'm feeling from that. And then the Jillian, I was just like, yes, yeah, because the idea, again, revealing parts of the story we were not privy to, you know, the idea that Jillian was this beautiful young thing that the Commodore saw and picked up and like da-da-da-da-da. Like, now we can start to see the scheming Nucky is being built. And that's the part that I'm enjoying so much in this.
Right.
It's like, you know, not only are they alluding to, oh, he was poor and blah, 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 and that's why he wanted more, but it's, they're going into the actual functional parts of what he did in order to change his existence at that time, and particularly the devious parts of his soul, for lack of a better place, that he's going to have to go in order to push that, which is fantastic. So I say all that to say, not necessarily a mea culpa on where I was with the flashback, because I still don't think I'll be like, ooh, I love these when I go back and watch it again. But it's very clear to me the functionality of them now. It's very clear to me. And I'm really excited to see where it goes between him and Jillian and the Commodore. That is a piece of the story that I'm very invested in and really want to see. And the what was the name that you said? She said, Cyril?
Nellie Bly.
Yeah,
that's a really good catch.
I didn't catch that one when I watched it. So that's a really good catch. That was very good.
I didn't catch it either.
That makes
it
even better in my head.
I'm done. Okay, so, yeah. okay, Rob said the thing about young Nucky realized he never believed him. I get that, because this younger teenager, whatever, young 20s, whatever, Nucky is brilliant in what he does. But besides the actual actors, I think, because I'm not going to sugarcoat what it was, I'm not backtracking on how I felt about early recaps. I still think it was unnecessary because it added no layer of depth.
The writing
at that point was very surface about a kid coming from a struggle. It was just a cliche cutout for me, and I'll never turn on that. And like I said, it didn't kill the whole episode, but it was what it was for me. And I go back really quickly when you said the young girl was great. The other scene, what made her great, besides her acting, was the writing for it. Because a lot of times you see these little kids and you give them cute lines, very emotional lines. And it's like an awe moment. It's like Full House and, you know, DJ and whatever.
Or what's the girl who's been in the news? Cosby Show girl. Her.
Rudy or Olivia.
Olivia. Anyway,
So her. With her, they gave her raw lines. Yeah, my mom had to leave my dad. You know what I mean? Like, damn.
Yeah.
Okay. You kind of know what's going on. Like, you heard it. The girly scream knew how to, like, that was so crazy. I'm sorry to go back, but, you know, Chalky having a gun, The girls are sitting here, meet this dude.
Yep.
All this stuff is happening. She's in a very adult situation. Unfortunately, you can infer that this is not too foreign for her.
Exactly.
The
yes.
lifestyle. So
yes.
that was all great. Okay, so going into this scene, to Rob's point, it was brilliant because we care about this story. And, you know, you care because you always wanted to know Jillian's background. But you
mm-hmm.
also have to figure out, okay, when did Nucky turn then? Because we're
yeah.
sitting here and you're waiting for him to turn. You,
yeah.
And it reminded me, Surreal, to still, you know, some of your thunder from earlier, if we're going wire comparisons, it kind of reminds me of Carcetti, you know what I mean, when he initially started and what he was about, you know,
right.
until he got in deeper and saw, and, you know, he became a freaking snake. But, you know, what he had to endure and what path he was on of trying to do better and about community and all that other type of stuff. So I'm very intrigued with what they do and how they marry this with young Jimmy. Because that's coming.
Woo!
Jimmy.
That's
coming. Yeah.
And it's going
yeah, Jimmy,
to
Jimmy, we know
I'm,
that.
I'm
going to
point
ball.
Out one thing. I don't know if y'all know this.
Okay.
So I'm going to say this now and see if y'all caught it.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sticking with the scene. I'm sticking with the scene. Okay, so you caught it anyway. But, okay, just for the reference, a frame of reference, what did the dude at the shop call Nelly? He kept calling her a monkey, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And at first I was like, is he talking about black people?
Yeah,
I was like, how many times they had to keep saying monkey? Like, that's rude. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to lie. When he said monkey, I'm waiting for them to find this little black kid on the
too.
Boardwalk. I'm
I
waiting for this
too.
Little black kid to show up on the boardwalk.
I
and that's
too.
Like, hey, I'm
very
like, what good. Is it? I said, you know, you're going to be looking for monkey.
I'm like, is that young Chalky? I was like,
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah,
like,
great. So... that was so brilliant, and we'll discuss why that was brilliant.
Yep. No.
We'll be talking about the next scene. So I'm done,
so
but it was great.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Jimmy, because, Rob, kudos to you. You were on this, called this dude R. Maggie.
Thank you, sir.
It's not, they're not even trying to hide the fact that this dude,
no.
whose name is Joe Harper, is Tommy Darmody. They're not even trying to hide it anymore. It's clear that this is Tommy, without question. So
yeah.
he, you know, he's been, he has an interaction with Nucky in regards to Nucky trying to give him money. This is following, you know, and we'll get to the Nucky bar scene, but this is following, of course, the bar scene with Nucky. Nucky's trying to give him money. He's like, dude, I already worked for you. You don't have to pay me. So
well,
hold up,
back, go back for a second. Go back.
What?
Yeah.
Go back to what? You
want to go back
bar
to...
scene?
No. I'm talking about if you go back to Tommy's scene with him. Tommy's scene with, what's the dude's name? Come on.
Doyle. Mickey Doyle. When he said...
Yeah, that's
oh,
when it was
Mickey
revealed, because he said, you know, your parents. And he's like, what? Like, he thought he
what?
Was caught.
Yeah. Because, Doyle said, your mother...
Your mother. Man, what was that exactly? Oh, man.
But he said, I hate your mother and your father paid me, or something like that.
Yeah,
something smart, yeah.
And he's like, huh?
That was the reveal for everyone.
And wait, so that was one reveal. And then the second one, just to kind of like add on to it, you know, Nucky wakes up out of his stupor.
Well, there
and
we go
the,
with the name
and
the line.
In the frame of the shot, I was just like, that looks exactly like Jimmy. Like, if you go back to that frame and look at the, like, when Nucky opens his eyes and he's, like, standing over him, the cut of his face and everything looks exactly like Jimmy.
We didn't do a show last week. The episode last week when Nucky was sober, he brings Nucky's bags up to him. Or something,
uh-huh.
Yeah, because Nucky's packing for New York to go meet with Maranzano. He brings Nucky's bags up to him. And as soon as he's walking out, Nucky gives him this look like, I've seen you before. He gives if you pay
mm-hmm,
attention to
mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
look that he gives him. So
yeah, he just
kind
of looks back and it holds on it like, huh.
Listen, because this is what we do when we're in love with the show. We'll go too far. But as Rob saw Jimmy in the shot, I saw Jillian.
Ooh, nice.
I saw Jillian.
Yeah.
I saw a young Jillian when they showed her.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Nucky was seeing, too. He's seeing just the family. Like,
yep.
Because
yep.
they did such a good job with the casting of them. They do look like family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, she's not
mm-hmm.
too much older than Jimmy anyway. You
yep.
know what I mean? So, like you said, sober and drunk, he's seeing who this kid is. And naturally, you know, in his drunken stupor, he's having that flashback moment. And, you
so
know, how fitting
so-
for...
Yeah, so Nucky asks him in his drunkenness. We're going back to this episode where he's drunk and, you know,
yeah.
he says, "What are you doing here?" The young boy says, "I'm just trying to get ahead."
Yeah.
So, and that was very, again, that was Jimmy Dorminey, trying to get ahead.
Woof.
This show is so it's brilliant. It's just, when you start breaking
down. So happy.
This is brilliant. This is brilliant. So, now, I mean, Joe Harper is going to be interesting to see what, obviously, I expect him to fully be in the next couple, the next two episodes with the whole Jillian dynamic, trying to, as they piece together that Jillian, Nucky, Joe Harper, along with, of course, the Luciano thing. But, Robert, you predicted, Rob, that you think he's going to kill him, kill Nucky. Kids, what is his motivation, you feel, based on what you've seen of him? Just trying to get closer, Nucky. What do you think he do you think he even knows that Nucky killed his Jimmy?
I think more will be revealed. That's what I think.
You don't think more will
yeah,
be
exactly.
We get
yeah.
more will be revealed. That's because I answered the question.
Yeah. So here's it. Like, I don't necessarily think that this kid like puts a bullet in Nucky's head. I don't necessarily think that right now. My instincts, just gut instinct, of course. We don't know. But my instincts are telling me that he's there to observe, and he's there also in the plot to make us think that.
Okay.
But in one way, it's completely Shakespearean. The kid kills the person who killed his father. Kid kills the guy who killed his father. So I think in one instance, that is there. But also, if I take kind of like the tone of this season, and it seems about discovering truth, I don't think the kid knows. I don't think the kid knows the story at this point, you know? And so, like, that piece, because how would he know? Richard died, and then he lived with, but the mom, they didn't know that Nucky.
Know.
I mean, like, rumors and stuff like that. So I could see his story being more about the discovery, and then that discovery and the power of that discovery, the power of the revelation, that being involved in Nucky's downfall. But I'm just not sure, at least right now, if I see the kid being the one who pulls the trigger. Also, I'm not sure if dies. That's the way that he goes out. You know,
I'm completely on the opposite side of this one, because I see where you're coming from. I get the logic. But I think with two episodes left, I'm not them, but it'd be very hard to develop this whole reveal. I think the kid knows, which is why he almost felt caught with question about who his parents were. I think he does know. I would venture
I don't think anybody has told. I think we're like that. I don't think anybody has said like, I think he suspects, strongly suspects, he's heard all the different things. He wants to know for sure, and that's part of the big reveal.
Okay, well, yeah,
so
either way.
I agree, yes, I agree
right.
with you. He's there with a purpose, and the purpose is to get Nucky to, I don't know if it, and I think the part where, yeah, I don't know if it's to get Nucky in a room alone and then shoot him.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying that that's the way it goes, but like I said, ultimately, I think he's waiting for the right time. And I could be completely wrong. And by that saying the right time, he can easily be one of the henchmen that protects Nucky, you know, as they get ready and gear up for war. But ultimately, I do believe, and, you know, look, there's two episodes left of prediction time. You know what I mean? I do believe that he will end up killing Nucky. I think that that's ultimately what happens. But like you said, there will be a lot more reveal within these next two episodes. And I love what they're doing, how they have been, you know, very patient, but really good pacing with bringing him along and more into the show. So, you know, as the last few episodes, you're seeing more and more. And, you know, episode 7, you're going to see a lot more the way I'm looking at it.
I can just almost see kind of like, you know, episode 8, like Nucky somewhere in the rain or something like that, something. And it's like the kid is standing there, and then there's like the flashback between like Nucky and Jimmy and the kid and Nucky. The possibilities.
I mean, listen. We'll move on after this, but it's like when, you know, they interview these basketball players or any athlete, and, you know, when they score 80 or throw 6 touchdowns, and they're like, you know, it's hard to explain when you're in this zone. You just, everything comes easy. And writing, they're in a great zone. So regardless of who dies and how they die, it's about to be amazing. These next
Agreed.
Two episodes. Because they are already in such a good place. And Boardwalk Empire is one of those shows, once they get in that really good place, they compete with anything. You know, you put your best show up against that, and yeah, go ahead.
So let's go to Chicago, where we lost another one of our beloved characters.
This is so much.
Oh, it was comedy to me. It was comedy because...
But yeah, that's the inside scoop, though, real quick. Terrence Winter's background, he wanted to be a comedic writer. That's all he did early on.
Yes.
But yeah, go ahead. It was
and he wrote for a million shows, and people, I don't know if people realize it. So, Van Alden and Eli, who are clearly sacrificial lambs for the FBI, because this was the worst plan in history. When you get up,
that's the perfect part. Van Alden even said to Alden, though, he was like, "This has not been planned."
So Van Alden is like, "We didn't think this through." So they go in. They go in with this fake money, with, of course, hoping to get to the count room. To get Capone's ledgers, which we know history tells us that was Capone's downfall. Those ledgers that would send him to jail for tax evasion. So Al Capone is out with a couple of movie stars, George Raft and Paul Mooney. There's really not too much security, but there's enough. They had enough security, but you know, guys are sleepy. They're like, oh, okay, what do you want? They're like, we got to get to the count room. So as they're about to enter the count room, of course, Ralph Capone, our man Herc from The Wire, is having sex with a maid. So Herc comes out, Ralph Capone comes out and takes out and reveals, you know, finds out that they're clearly up to something, because he takes out the fake money. And then they call the undercover prohibition officer, D'Angelo. And it looks like, you know, once D'Angelo gets there, punches Van Alden in the face, and it seems like they were going to get off scot-free, basically, until, of course, Al Capone comes back, and that's when you knew that it was basically going to be a wrap for one of them. I didn't know whether it was going to be Van Alden or Eli, but it was going. Once Capone got back, then both of them were not walking out that hotel room. So Capone gets them in the room. He's entertaining. You know, of course, his celebrities, the actors. Yeah, I mean, the hotel. You know. Capone gets those two in the room after Ralph Capone tells him what goes down, what went down. And Capone was genuinely, and this dude, Stephen Graham, is a beast, he genuinely was hurt by Van Alden. He basically could give care less about Eli, even though he took him in for Nucky. He cared less about Eli, but I got the sense that he genuinely, he was hurt by Van Alden. And him, betraying this betrayal, and figures out that Luciana was right, and pulls out the gun. Of course, Van Alden becomes Van Alden goes back to his roots. He goes back to this was the genius of this.
Yeah.
He goes back to who he was.
He had his moment.
Who he once was. He had his moment. He punches Capone in the face. Capone is scared to death. That's a funny part too. Capone is scared to death, and of course, Van Alden. Of course, the prohibition agent is scared that he's going to get exposed.
No, he's ready to blast off.
He shoots Van Alden out of fear.
I'm sorry, I'm thinking
about
when
he's ready
to go Eli for a second. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and I thought he was. No, again, and that's that too. I thought that he was ready to kill. I thought that he was going to. Eli probably the smartest thing that Eli's done this season, says Elliot Ness. other than that, Eli's been just a total. But Eli had his one smart moment of the season, and saying Elliot Ness, and that scene is just, and of course the D'Angelo, gets the ledgers, not the way he intended to get them, but he gets the ledgers from Ralph Capone, and on his dead, Eli survives once again. How many times has he survived death? Eli survives, gets a bus ticket back to Jersey, back to Atlantic City, or some money from D'Angelo back to Atlantic City. Capone, could care less about Eli, says, and assumed that the D'Angelo was going to kill Eli in the cornfield, which he told him to. So that scene is just a classic scene. One thing that was said by Capone that stood out to me was. He's talking to Ralph Capone. He's talking to his brother. He's clearly shooken up at this point. Got blood on his face, been punched in the face, and he says, "We were barbers." He says, "We were barbers." That's what he said to Ralph Capone. Now, that was in reference to his father. The Capone father was a barber. They were barbers back in New York, but I'm assuming before they got into all this crime and stealing and all that stuff. And I was like, wow, this dude who's on top of the world, Al Capone, biggest crime figure in the universe, says, you know what? We could have been. We were once barbers. Like he was. It was almost like he was regretting his place, his current place, which I found very interesting. So, take it away. There was just so much to take. That scene is just a classic scene.
Yeah.
Who wants to go first?
Let me go first on this one, Rob.
No, I mean, I think it's pretty straightforward. I mean, it's just like. When I think, Chet, you spoke to it in the beginning when we were talking about Chalky, the care in which they give their characters.
Uh-huh.
And this is the flip side of the care. Like, this is their absolute care and love, but doing it in the way that's consistent with how the characters have developed.
Mm-hmm.
And from start to finish of that scene, it was just like perfect. It was perfect because it was clunky, it was hilarious, and ultimately it was final. And like that's the only way, particularly Van Alden, who that's been his entire life. I mean, Capone says like I found you in an iron. You were selling iron. What? How could you be in that? Yeah, literally, you were selling irons, and that literally has been, Van Alden's existence throughout his arc throughout the entire series, where it's just been one misstep after another misstep after another misstep, and he's his own, he has been his own worst enemy. And I think that kind of like that end was just like him just taking, after being worse and worse, just taking another, just like, you know what, let me just get one last something in before I go down. Which was great. So the scene, fantastic.
But, yeah, it was. to quote the wise philosopher Ice-T, he said, "It's called a horror movie because it ends horribly." You know what
right.
I mean?
Yes.
I just love that line.
Yes. It was supposed to be like this. No,
I mean, okay, it was so much. It was so much because. And you, when you think about, you know, the episode before when it's, you know, revealed
yep.
that Eli slept with his wife.
Yeah.
And it's like old school stick where he's like, you know, we're having marital problems. He's like, I can, you know.
I can adjust, you know. Yeah, that was one of the lines.
I'm telling you, this stuff is like, you can't write stuff better than this. It's hilarious. It is sad, it is dreadful, all at the same time. Like, these two lovable losers are just
yeah.
like, we tried to rob you. Like,
yeah.
Yo, I'm dying. Like, this something came out of their mouth. They were in awe. They don't even know how to handle these cats. They're like, what do we do? What? Try to rob. I mean, no. This is where you miss this for real. Eli hasn't been doing dumb stuff. He's so broken, okay? When you're this broken, you can't think. You just like, whatever, man.
What, that broken like, just causes you to do dumb stuff. That's all point.
What else
he's
I'm talking about? It's not even like what I'm trying to say to you mentally. I get what you're saying, ultimately, by being dumb. But he's so broke that I don't even think he's trying to be logical. He's almost just like, here, I'm going to throw this. If it's sick, it's sick. You know what I mean? This is where Eli is personally in his life or whatever. And it was really good. I'm sorry. I can't stop laughing at some of the stuff. But it was so genuine when Van Alden died. And Eli's just like, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Like, it became real because these two, seemingly prior to this season, polar opposites. You know what I mean? They have had this affinity for each other now, and they have a real bond. They bonded in their depression.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? In their sadness, and Eli is regretful and is hurting that, you know, he has this guy with him in this situation. And to your point about Capone, he was very hurt. You know, he's like, you know, what? Like, he really was sincere. Like, you know, come on. We're friends. You know?
Yeah, and Capone, too, to that. Well, Eli, first of all, Eli was positive. Eli was apologizing to his wife. He said, you really couldn't. He was like, I'm
but,
sorry.
But the way he was looking at him, I think he's apologizing. I think he also was apologizing to him. That's the way I interpreted the scene. Yes,
I mean,
he was
well,
talking
I would
about
say both of but more, I looked at more about he's apologizing to his wife. More than anybody, because I mean, he kept saying her name over and over, and I think
right.
both of them, but more towards his wife, because how the infidelity, and he had never cheated on his wife prior to this, that they had shown prior to this. So I think that was a whole that he was feeling. I think he was feeling like he was going to die. Let me get this out before I bite a bullet. So I think
well,
that.
Well, yeah,
that,
I mean, was saying the same thing, but even bigger than his wife, he was apologizing. He was very regretful. Period. For
yeah.
where he is. So you could say. And all the men, you can say his wife, you can say all these kids he just left. You can say that never, you know, rectifying the situation with his oldest son. Like, they took you through Eli's life and torture. You know? One thing go ahead.
In regards to Capone, yeah, I think Capone was genuinely hurt. I think that was like genuine.
No, you're completely right. You're completely
I
right.
I think Capone, and I think Capone, and also, too, you know, I think Capone was like, look, man, I saved your life. Like, Luciano was, that whole situation was got you killed. And I trusted you over a close, dear friend of mine. Like, he took his word over Luciano's word. And he's known
but
Luciano
that's why it was, that was, once again, really great writing. So let me make two quick points. What a gem this actor to play Capone has turned out to be. You know, prior to the season, he was cool for me. He was cool. He was good. But what he blossomed into, I didn't see coming. I just didn't, to this level. And he continues to add depth and layers to what we know, you know, whoever his stories are as far as, you know, Al Capone and everything. And what I thought for me, that scene reveal when you were talking about we used to be barbers, you combine that with him really being hurt for Van Alderman, the way he betrayed him, I think he realizes this bravado is nothing but a mask. You know what I mean? He is this character, but there's still a genuine person beneath all of this. He knows that everyone is just there with him because they're scared of him. You know, they're laughing at all his jokes. You know what I mean? And when he's in it, he's in it. But it's all an act. It's all an act. The Scarface, all of this, is all an act. So I thought it was really great writing and acting that he displayed. And in that whole scene, it was just genius. And then at the end of it all, for, you know, the guy to just throw the money at Eli. Like, you know, Eli has, I think I said this before, but he has quickly become the new Jesse. Where it's
he's a survivor.
What else? Eli. Not even survivor, like, but what else can happen to
Eli? What else can he go through? Oh, well.
You just kill yourself, Eli.
I think the scene accomplished two things that it did. It tended to. One was to show you again the ledgers, getting ledgers to the FBI, burying Capone. And two was getting Eli back to Atlantic City. I think Eli getting back to Atlantic City, I think he'll see Willie, Nookie. I think they'll, you know, I don't know where he's going to go with Nookie, but I think that's what the scene, that scene along with, you know, obviously killing the subplot of Van Alden in Chicago, that's what the scene, I think, accomplished. And it did it just extremely well.
It closes off the Chicago story effectively.
Right.
Because, like, we know Capone's going down, so he's going to get. Yes. So it closes off Chicago in that whole knot, ends Van Alden, so he's gone from it. And so, like, essentially, you're absolutely right. Now these last two episodes are all about Nucky.
Yep.
Eli survives, comes back to Jersey. So it'll be all about that. And I think Capone even says, like, there's, like, so what about Nucky? And he's like, Luciano will deal with him. So that's where we are these last two episodes. Nucky, the people around him, his past, present, and then the thing with New York.
Yep. So, what about Nucky? Did we even want to talk about Nucky at the drunk bar, or
I don't think it's really necessary.
Nothing revealing out of that.
I mean, I think it
is revealing.
Yeah, it shows that
he's
on a downward spiral, right? Like he's doing stuff. He's not on top of his game at all. Like that,
right.
As a matter of fact, he's going the exact opposite direction, and this is kind of like a tangible piece of that.
No, you're right. That's completely what it is. But also, it's just once again making sure we reaffirm that Nucky came from the bottom, and he always has his ability to connect with people who are quote unquote not on his level. This is where he actually finds peace. Not with these suits and the rest of the stuff he does in business. It's always for someone beneath him because that's where he came from. So I did love the back and forth banter as he's playing with the woman, like, you called it basically, but she couldn't be further from the truth as far as what she thought he was. But, you know, that's just where that's home to him. You know, but like to Rob's point, ultimately, yes, they call him slipping. And you, I mean, we all knew it was coming as soon as he's talking about the hotel. And she's like, what else can you do? You know what I mean? It's like, we're about to get this dude. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's all I got. But it was good.
They close out, and this is the unfortunate part of only having the 8-episode season, that storylines had to be killed off. Close out Harlem, they close out Chicago. What we have left now seemingly is a war, the Luciano and Nucky war. I would have to think that Marizano has to die in one of these next two episodes. I wouldn't be surprised if they killed, if Marizano didn't die this episode coming up.
Right.
You have that left. You have the Jillian Hospital. Jillian, both senses. Jillian Commodore, 1897.
No, it's heavy Jillian.
And President,
heavy
Jillian. I expect to see heavy Jillian. And also, I was just wondering, because this is a lot to get to, how much will they show as far as, will they show, and I hope they don't show it, as far as the Jillian getting handed over to the Commodore?
No, Rob brought it up a few episodes back about it would take away from it if they actually tried to visually display those things. I think it was inferred enough this episode where you saw these mothers outside of the house, and one was like, that was enough. Even if they show her going to the house, I don't see them actually having a scene. I don't know.
I agree with you. I don't see them having a scene, but I do want to amend that. When I was originally stating that, it's because the way that Jillian told the story was so visceral. Now we're finding out that it's not true. You know, it's not true. So it, like the way that, like, from her memory and like from where she was at the exact time, like the beats of it might be true, but the whole background and how she got to that pretty little girl being there for the Commodore, I think they do show how they stage it, how Nucky creates her and gets her in a position for the Commodore to notice her. I do think that. And then, how that negotiation and all that becomes Nucky's way in. Because right now, what we know that we didn't know was that the Commodore wanted nothing to do with Nucky. So it wasn't like he was his benefactor. So it's like, how does that transaction then get Nucky into being in good with the Commodore, whatever that. So I think like that part, they figure out how to show. But yeah, the actual them being no, I don't think that.
And from a logistical standpoint, they almost have to. You can't do 6 out of 8 episode recaps, backstories. The backstories are going to play out the next 2 episodes as well. The only backstory left is Jillian. So, they will have, like you said, it'll be more the setup, and it will be interesting. Because, like, just, you know, because, Rob, you made me think about it when you talk about how she painted their history. It is so, I hate to keep using this word, so I'm not going to say that word, but it's so fitting for her to be in a crazy home right now, because of what's happened to her, right?
When you
go back for a second, and when she was dating this guy, you saw her being authentic. You saw her hesitation, and then she finally says, "I'm going to share with him the truth." This woman is so delusional; she don't know what truth is.
She doesn't know what it is.
So when she's talking about this story with Jimmy, I'm realizing maybe she thought she wasn't lying.
Yeah.
You know, this Commodore stuff, maybe it's not about her trying to paint it for what it is, because these are such dark situations that happen in someone's life.
From a writing standpoint and an acting standpoint, you have to play it that way in order to make that scene, and it did, it resonated. It was so visceral, the way that she described it. You know, I just remember it so well. And I think you have, like, as an actor and a writer, you, like, have to write it that way. It has to come off that way. It can't be like he knows, like, it, and he's spinning a story. Like, and I think, like, you know, man, fucking Gillian's arc. Literally, when we do a recap, we just really just need to recap Gillian's arc. Because her, this has been, like, from where we were with her, and I remember when me and Chad, we were talking about her after season two, you know, it's like this evil devil woman, you know, yeah. Who's like, it, and it's just like the, oh my God, the way that they've stripped her down is just like, you're
asking. Rob, can I tell you something? You don't remember this. When we said a recap, season two, I told you who she reminded me of. Now, it was I'm going to say it in a second. It was completely confirmed after watching this last episode. I'm not going to say the person's name. We all went to school with her. Her name starts with an N.
Oh.
She's a very good friend of Rob.
Oh, you did say that. That's right.
I mean,
wow.
This is her. This is really, if there was a white version.
No, you're not lying. Yeah.
I also wondered if we will see the death of the of Nucky's baby and his wife in that situation, because she's pregnant now.
That's
on the table. That's on the table.
Yeah.
So
I think it has to happen. I think it has to happen because, you know, like I said, who knows? But I'm always with the rhyme and reason, and for them to bring up the pregnancy. We've always wondered why how he did, like, so they're revealing stuff that we never do. So in line with that, I think that it's something that has to be discussed, you know.
I would just be curious to know, and again, there's two episodes remaining, how in the world does he survive this war with Luciano? Because the war, it seems to me like the way that they're going to do it, that the war with Luciano is going to happen this episode, and then episode 8 is going to be like the fallout.
You do this a lot, Cyril, where you get you get engrossed in the loud noise. Remember I would talk about with Breaking Bad, like how the twins were a mechanism. They were they were the loud noise over here to distract
to
you
off,
from the root of the story, which is usually more
carries more weight,
philosophical. Exactly. Like more emotional. The war is clearly it's a loud noise. Some people will die. Some things will happen. Luciano will say some clever stuff. You know, we'll start to see like it'll be like a nice little thing. The heart of this story, and this is, I mean, like, it has to be the heart of the story, is Nucky, Jillian,
Tommy, son, and Eli.
Yep. That's the heart. That is where everything is building to. Because now, I guess, like, flipping back, like, now that's why the flashbacks make more sense. And I 100% agree with you, Chad. Like, looking back on the flashback, like, you don't reverse your opinion on the flashbacks because I think they strung it out. But I also recognize they needed to establish the flow and the importance of flashbacks for us to feel like the culminating of the flash portion of what's going on with Nucky and Jillian.
I agree. I was always trying to fight for the flashback, but
yeah,
it was
you
just
were.
Like,
The only
problem was I had to stop fighting because I'm like, okay, they already said that in this episode with the flashback.
They said it so many times.
It was
so
just too much
times.
Eli Nucky going back and forth.
Yeah.
But no, yeah. So, and ultimately, to your point, Rob, the way they're going to do this is going to satisfy all audiences because they're going to give you the gore.
Bloody, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. and it's going to be very emotional. That's going to be the most impactful scene and lasting in your memory, those scenes with Jillian and you know, Tommy even. I think those reveals or whatever are very important. So, you know, we sit here two episodes left, man. I can't wait.
So, predictions for the next episode. Predictions? I have one in particular.
Wait, really quickly, I want to say something. This man learned a lot under David Chase. right? Yes. And so I'm wondering what are the parts he keeps? Because this is I didn't know. I'm not going that far. But I'm wondering what parts he keeps from kind of like that final overture with Tony versus New York. It's the exact same beats here. Like that is there.
So I'm
wondering how much of that he keeps. And then what he definitely learned from the season finale. No, nothing's going to black. I'm not saying that at all. But yes. I'm wondering, and that's why I'm saying I'm not. Well, two things. One, you know, I was so certain that was going to happen in Breaking Bad, and I think the lesson of Breaking Bad, and then we've seen it subsequently, even before and then after in series finales, is that it's really fucking hard to kill your darlings. It's really hard, if not impossible. That seems to be like, and when I look at finale after finale after finale, like that seems to be the ultimate kind of, like that main character, your baby that you spent thinking nights and nights, it's hard to put a bullet in that person's head.
But
you know
what? And I agree with
and
you.
So that's I don't think it'll be ambiguous like that, like what happened with the Sopranos, but I'm also not, that's why I can't, it's hard for me to envision like a bullet going into Nucky's head. So it's like somewhere in between those two is what I'm anticipating.
Right. And I get that. I do. The only difference I say with this show, like Breaking Bad, it was harder to see, you know, them killing him because we couldn't even see them, and they couldn't kill Jesse. Like, Boardwalk Empire has killed a lot of babies along the way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
You know, so the thing
is
that
the ultimate baby's Nucky. Like,
no,
for
I get
real.
That.
Like, Game of Thrones is the only other one that I'll probably say. But in all these other shows, like, you think about The Sopranos. I remember The Shield and, like, how that ended. Like, I'm thinking, like, all these different Breaking Bad. And just, like, you know, it seems like it's super, super hard for that focal point to put a bullet in that focal point's head.
Well, right, but this is my point of what I'm saying to you. Is all what you're saying is, as a writer, yes, it's definitely very hard. But you know what eases that pain? When you, and that's what my big criticism of Breaking Bad was, when you stick to who the character is, not who your feelings of that character, okay? When your feelings of that character play out, the emotional side gets in it, and therefore it's inconsistent with what would really happen in his story or her story. What Boardwalk Empire has done, as we even saw with Chalky dying most recently, Van Alderman dying, like, they died how their characters would die. They went out how they would go out, you know? So, yes, this is the ultimate baby, and the way they developed it to show you that this last season is about Nucky. I don't really worry so much with the Tony Soprano thing because I felt like... We were waiting for Tony to die for a minute. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't even about the last season. It was drawing to an end, and it made it that much harder to have that blackout scene because they played with you, the audience, a lot of times. There's a few times we thought, okay, this is it for Tony. You know what I mean? And there's never been that with Nucky. We can argue that it's definitely been that way for Eli a few times where you're like, okay, this has to be the end of the road for Eli. But I just think that the way I see it going out with Nucky, you know what I mean? It's the same way with Narcisse. I don't think it's necessary to kill Narcisse because that is death to him, him living in this world he'll never control or have power in. With Nucky, dying would be to let him live without power. So that's why I definitely see him going. Because there's no way he lives and takes some money and when it starts all over, you know, she has to die. And I think that makes, that gives the writer more peace with, you know, really dictating how he goes out. He goes out on top, you know what I mean, as opposed to living for everyone else. But, you know, we got two episodes to see.
I do have one prediction. I do feel like Nucky will get Jillian out of that nut house. I'll make that one prediction. These flashbacks, and I think he'll feel bad about what he did in terms of giving her over to the Commodore, and I think he'll find a way, you know, that to get her out that the crazy house.
Yeah, I see at least him visiting her. I see that scene happening with them presently as they are. So, yeah, I could buy that. I'm not going to say he gets her out, but I definitely see him going to the house to see her. So that would be interesting. That would be interesting. Other than that, man, it's just like you can't wait for Sunday. You know what I mean? Two episodes left, and it's hard because we've been really spoiled by having so many good shows one after another. Unfortunately, they're leaving. And I haven't found shows to replace them on that level yet. But this is going to be a really tough one for me to swallow, because that's the first thing I thought about when I finished watching this last episode. Like, damn, it really is only two episodes left for this.
I mean, they got painted into that corner where they, you know, they had them only give them eight episodes. So
yeah, Netflix buy them.
Yeah, somebody buy Amazon. Somebody buy them.
Yeah, but they've already moved on. They got other ventures and projects going right now anyway. So.
Oh, no, they have. No, but, Terry, I mean, yeah. Terry Winter is like, you know, Wolf of Wall Street. I mean, he has a million other things on the table.
Well, he has another show on HBO coming out, actually.
Yeah, you do.
They're good.
Jim Rossetti's going to be on that show. So, but, yeah, they got, they you know, their plate is going to be full. Any predictions, Rob, for next episode?
I think the war culminates in next episode, meaning, you know, Nucky's more on the losing end of it, and then I think that's when, like, I think Nucky will follow a similar arc to Jimmy, kind of like when Jimmy knew it was over, and I think that's when, like, he starts to try to do some mea culpas, Jillian and with Eli and that'll lead into the next eight. So I expect by the end of next episode that Nucky will be on the losing side and will be making plans for the whatever's the next piece.
I do have one prediction too. I think Eli goes at the end of the next episode.
Oh wow!
Yeah. I think it's a wrap for Eli.
What do we expect to see out of Willie?
I thought about that. Would maybe Eli, before he even gets to Nucky, I think that he does have a moment with his son. I do.
What about Willie's overall plot, like his overall arc to the main two episodes?
Because this is what I want. I see the whole family fighting together. This is more what I want. But I see Willie with the gun. You know what I mean? Eli, them all rounding it up and going out together one last time. Although his dad, you know, he wants to keep Willie away from that, focus on the law. Willie wants to be, you know, mad now. I make my own decisions. You know, you tried to hide the family business from me for years, huh?
You don't see Willie picking up a gun. You see Willie getting in the actual trenches of the war. You remember, he's
a fisher. I see him in the war.
Okay.
Willie picked up a gun, man. Why not?
Willie got our guns blazing.
The theme of this next episode is nature versus nurture. Okay? This is what Willie's blood is. Okay? He's a killer.
Isn't this the time where you usually tell us what the title of the next episode is?
Willie's not a killer.
Willie's not a killer. I hope you don't take me seriously.
Willie's not a killer. So, other than the Jillian prediction, I don't, like, have any. This episode, obviously, they'll talk about the war. I think Marizano goes. I will say that. I think Luciano kills Marizano. I don't see Narcisse in this episode, of course. The Jillian Thompson, that thing will drive Joel Harper. I really, that will drive this particular episode. And the Willie thing will be interesting to me. I'll be very interested to see what they do with him these next couple of episodes. Because he's had like two scenes in that second episode. I think he was in A Good Listener. Other than that, he hasn't been in any part of it. He's on the starring cast as far as not a recurring cast member. He's on the, as far as opening credits, they have his name up there. So I was curious to see what they would do with him these last couple of episodes. So you think Eli's gone? Wow.
That's what I'm saying. I think this is where the show is for me as far as this season. It's just like closing all chapters. You know?
And that would make sense. It would make sense to killing Eli because you look at Chucky's – look at – not Chucky. Look at Nookie's allies. Chucky gone.
Yeah.
The girl, Sally Wheat, gone. So
Eli,
like,
also like, you know, it's also like what Chalky said, you know, when Nucky first came to him, you know, and he's like told him where his family lives. He's like, what, so you want me to just ring the doorbell and you can go talk? It's done. That path is done. You know what I mean? And I feel like, okay, this is where I combine the Eli, Jesse, resurrection part. I can't fathom Eli going home. I can't. You know, his wife's pregnant, and he can make amends with his son. So there is there's a very thin light, but there's hope. There's still a little bit of hope that I can actually buy for Eli to come home broken and just be embraced by his family. At the heart of Eli, that's what it was about. You know, I can buy that. And I think
Chalky's line in the episode, in this episode, in the last episode, kind of negates that. Remember when he's talking with the thing, and Chalky's like, what can I do? Just step up to the door and say, hey, here I am?
No, I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. I don't see it necessarily happening. I think that so far we've witnessed things are ending horribly. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. The theme is no one goes quiet. That's the theme of the season. No one goes quiet.
Hey, as you guys were talking, I had an interesting concept or interesting thought. What if the kind of the overarching framework, yes, you know, Nucky, everything that happened to him, but, like, what if the greatest sin of the show from a character standpoint is what happened to Jimmy? And, like, all of the people who were involved in that, like, have to fall in some type of way.
That's your affinity for Jimmy, I think.
Yeah, that is my affinity for Jimmy. But look at the people, and I get it, and I'm just thinking about this. I haven't developed this at all because I just think it. But look at the people who's going to have to go down. Nucky's going to have to go down. Eli's going to have to go down. Jillian's going to have to go down in some type of way. Who else is there in that rainy night? You know,
you can't dismiss Chalky and Alderman just dying. It has nothing to do with Jimmy.
I mean, they just had to close off the story. I'm talking about to like the ultimate, like the end point. Anyways,
but we said that we agree with you completely on that. Like, this last two episodes. Oh, this is really Jimmy heavy. You know what I mean? He's at the crux of this. You know, and that's why because. You could argue that this is about a Commodore and Jillian if they didn't bring Tommy along.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But for them to bring Tommy along, it automatically puts Jimmy back in the mix. Yeah. And his involvement. Yep. So, I'm with you. I'm with you completely. Because I think ultimately, to continue that point, Jimmy probably is the only death that Nucky may regret.
Yeah.
Where, you know what I mean? Like, this one really hurt him to do.
Yeah.
And that's why, I feel like the dude, the young boy, Jimmy's son, is going to kill Nucky ultimately. I think that's the payback, so to speak, of him killing Jimmy. That's the final thing in terms of how he dealt with Jimmy.
And
also
him. Think about this, Rob, and real, like, this is, and I got to go, my phone was dead, but when we talk about the lines that they use, you look at the interaction with him and Tommy. He says, take the money. It's not for you, it's for me. For me, I see that being very similar to how he can go out. Well, maybe Tommy wasn't even going to kill him. You know, maybe it is revealed, I did kill your dad. But I think Nucky's going to want him to. You know, that will be justified. But
does anybody want to know what the next episode is called?
I would love to know the name.
Friendless Child. Friendless Child. Yes, Friendless Child.
There we go.
What are your thoughts on that? It's Friendless Child, like, just real quick, Friendless Child.
I mean, the first thing that came to mind is just like a double entendre. I think of Friendless Child, speaking of Jillian and Tommy.
Yep.
You know, so.
And Nucky.
You know. And Nucky. It's just that triangle that they're going to really focus on these next two episodes. So.
Cannot wait. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Pseudocrim Review Boardwalk Empire. As always, I'd like to thank Rob Sapp, Chad Quinn for joining me. And again, we cannot wait till Sunday. It'll be a lot to talk about as we break down the next episode, Friendless Child of Boardwalk Empire. Fellas, thanks for coming on.
Gentlemen, have a good one.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Pseudocrim Review. I will see you next time on Saturday. Have a great, great rest of the week.
All a dream to begin with. Ain't nobody ever been free.